From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Corey Flintoff, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you, everybody. You have got a fistful of entertainment for you today. CNN's Queen of Quirky News Stories, Jeannie Mose, will be joining us later to play our game. But first, I wanted to take a second to welcome Corey Flintoff, filling in for Carl Castle, back to our show. Great to have you. It's been a while.
Thank you.
In fact, Corey at one point decided he'd rather go to Iraq than appear on our show. But to bring him back, we had to meet a condition for his return. We had to meet his needs. Corey, can you tell the people what it was you demanded?
I said I wouldn't come back on the show unless I could do Paris Hilton.
So, of course, we had to wait until the time was right. And the time is right. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
My name is Mireille, and I'm calling from Montreal.
Oh, from Montreal. You're our first French-Canadian contestant. This is
very
exciting.
Well, I'm happy to be that. I'm part of your internet following.
That's great. It's so exotic to speak to someone from French Canada. Ooh, how's the poutine?
The poutine is not light.
All right. Well, glad to have you with us.
Is that code?
No.
Does the invasion begin at dawn?
It's the only thing I know about French Canada. They eat poutine, which is French fries with mayonnaise and cheese.
Didn't our president at one point call someone a poutine? I guarantee it.
Well, I mean, was it somebody in Russia?
Yeah.
Well done.
Well, bienvenue to our show, Mireille.
Well, merci beaucoup.
Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for Esquire and the Boston Globe magazine, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Charlie.
Bonjour, bonsoir, whatever.
Also say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column is Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Roxanne.
Hello.
And lastly, a comedian who will be performing at the University of Arizona in Tucson at Centennial Hall on Friday, September 5th, Ms. Paula Poundstone.
Paula, I have to say, I love the way your mind works.
Thank you very much, Mireille. It's nice to have you.
Thank you.
Now, Mireille, you're going to start us off by playing Who's Corey This Time. Corey Flintoff is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your home answering machine.
Very good.
All right, ready to go?
Yes.
Here is your first quote.
The mist in the air is not a feature of pollution primarily, but a feature of evaporation and humidity.
That was an official denying that the awful brown sludge preventing people from seeing too well or breathing too well is pollution. Where are people having some kind of inexplicable problem with the harmless mist?
Would that be Beijing?
Yes, at the Olympics, of course. When the International Olympic Committee announced that the 2008 Games would be held in Beijing, one of the most polluted major cities in the world, we were told back then, no problem, the Chinese government would have the place smelling like the restroom at the Four Seasons by the opening ceremony. That lovely lavender thing. Then when the athletes started showing up this past week, and actually found themselves unable to force their bodies through the air to get to their cars, the IOC official you heard from said, it's not a problem, it's not pollution, it's just mist. Olympic organizers have adapted to the conditions in Beijing. They've added such events as the throw and then find the javelin competition. And on the last day of the games, the 800-meter gasp.
Mireille, I think they should probably just move them to Montreal because you guys have finally finished paying off 1976, right?
Just barely.
But think about it. The Chinese do have the advantage of they have this massive population with no rights who have to do what they're told. Can't you just put everybody in the streets of Beijing, have them point like away from the city and have them blow really hard? All right, Mireille. For your next quote, we take you now to the annual biker rally in Sturgis, South Dakota.
I told her, with a little luck, she could be the only lady to serve as First Lady and Miss Buffalo Chip.
So who told the crowd at Sturgis that he wanted his wife to enter the usually topless, occasionally bottomless Miss Buffalo Chip beauty pageant?
Well, that was McCain.
That was John McCain. Trying to win the votes of the thousands of Harley riders arrayed before him, McCain...
Does he think any of those people vote?
That's a good question. McCain essentially offered to toss them his wife, who was standing next to him as he said that. She had a look in her face that suggested that she wished they were in private so she could unhinge her jaw and swallow him whole. Now, the Miss Buffalo Chip pageant, for those of you unlucky enough never to have been to Sturgis during the rally, it's a notorious part of the event. It features such events as the wet t-shirt competition and the pickle-licking competition. Cindy said she was flattered at the idea of competing, but she was concerned that if she did enter the wet t-shirt competition, she might short-circuit.
What? Where the...
Was that harsh? Was that too hard?
You're only, and this is so NPR of you, you're only focusing on the female exploitation of the event.
Yes.
There is an essay portion of... of the Miss Buffalo Chip contest. It's not covered as widely as the parts that you're talking about.
All right, Mireille, here's your last quote.
I want America to know that I'm, like, totally ready to leave.
That was somebody throwing her hat into the presidential ring. All right, not her hat. Her bikini top. Her Manolo Blahnik. Her chihuahua, whatever. She threw it in. Who is this new candidate?
That would be the very hot Paris Hilton.
Very hot, yes. Or très chaud, as they say up there. First, the McCain campaign inserted Paris Hilton into the presidential race when they compared Barack Obama to her as an empty celebrity. Then, Paris Hilton responded with her own campaign ad, produced by the guys at the funnierdie.com site. And thirdly, and most amazingly, Paris Hilton seemed more at ease with the camera, her script, and with the policy issues than either of the actual candidates. The last thing that happened in this saga, and this is true, is that the McCain campaign endorsed Paris Hilton's energy plan. Quote, they said, "It sounds like Paris Hilton supports John McCain's approach to America's energy crisis," unquote. Put that on a campaign ad. Paris Hilton approves. And just for the record, by the way, here's the Obama campaign's response to the Hilton ad in its entirety. Quote, "Whatever," unquote. Corey, how did Mireille do in our quiz?
Mireille got all three right and wins Carl Castle's voice on her home answering machine.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Well done.
Thank you.
Bien joué.
It was a real pleasure.
Thank you, Mireille. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We want to remind everybody that they can join us here just about every week at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, go to chicagopublicradio.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org.